Good morning. I stand before you this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. And it's a privilege to be here this morning. I also bring you greetings from the Keysville congregation, and I want to express my appreciation to those of you who have helped out at our services, and I will also give a thanks in advance to those of you who will continue to help out. It's good to see the house of God filled this morning, and I trust together that we can look to His Word and be filled. For a message this morning, I have chosen to title my thoughts, My Life, My Choice. And I want to think about this morning the choices we have in life and how everything that we do will affect us one way or the other. And I understand this week there has been, or in the last week or so, there has been numerous new Christians in this congregation. That's a very exciting part of church life. And it's good to see that because we see people making deliberate choices. But before I get started, I have an illustration along that I would like to explain the choices of life. This is a Plinko board, and it's, I think in some connotations it may be with gambling, but that's not what we're doing here this morning. I want to present this as life. And on this board, each pin you see is a choice. And as long as you're in the middle of life, you can make another choice, and you go one way or the other. And I don't know where you are on this board. But everyone is here somewhere because all of you are here, so therefore you started. And somewhere in life you get started, and you either start on one side or the other, but as you go through life, if you stay on board, you get to the end somewhere. And you either end up on the left side or you end up on the right side. But each time you go down and you make one choice, you have another choice, and you have another choice, and you have another choice, and then you have choices until you get to the end of life. And if you start out and you start making choices to the left, you will end up on the left. And if you start out making choices to the right, you end up on the right. But you always are presented with another choice.
We'll just leave that there. It didn't work quite like I was hoping. It works better if it's a little more slip. That's okay.
As long as you have life, you have opportunity to change. But there will come a time when you make your final choice and you will be in one of the slots. And you will not move. That's where you will be. On the left or on the right. You have choices until you get there. So I want to think about choices we make in life that have huge consequences. Open your Bibles with me to Josh chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, I'd like to begin reading in verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sights and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from among us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he has done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods that are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel, And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And we have here a generation of people that saw what God did in their lives. And they said, we're going to choose the Lord. And the first thing I want to implement or to establish here this morning, that choosing God and choosing God in your life is the first step that you will make in life. And then after you choose that, you will move on and you will continue to make a choice every day, or maybe not every day. Some days it's every day and some days it feels like it's not quite so often. You will have to decide whether or not you will continue to follow God and what he's putting in your life, or you're going to choose to go against God. And once you make that choice, you start a trend. And you can always change the trend, but it does not get any easier than now. Because when we get accustomed to what we choose, we kind of get in a rut, and it's easy to choose that way again. And this is important that each generation, we have a generation of people here that Josh is talking to. And this is not the same generation of people that Joshua talked to 40 years earlier, because they all died. But another generation, the next generation, each generation needs to choose God. Just because your parents have you in church, you still need to choose God. It's a choice you will make. It's a choice that you must make, whether you're going to choose the God your parents chose or you're going to choose the God of this world. Parents cannot choose for the children, and children cannot choose for their parents. It's an individual choice that we make, but we will accept the consequences of that choice. Once we choose God, we will continue to be pressed ahead. Luke chapter 9, verses 57. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid farewell to them, bid them farewell which are at my home, at home and at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. So one day in your life you chose God and you said, I'm going to serve you. And the whole church rejoiced. But what about when God brings a trial to your life? What do I do whenever God calls and we need to answer? Do I say, no, Lord? No, I'm good. I like the bench. We're just good here. Or do we say, Lord, my life's in your hands. We're going to move on with you. What do we do whenever God brings hard times to our lives? Maybe sickness. Do we get better at God, or do we continue to submit to God and say, well, Lord, what you have for me? Sometimes the choices we make, sometimes choosing to follow God or choosing not to follow God, we may think it doesn't have real big consequences, because some choices in life are small. But some choices, it will put you on a trajectory and you will go one way or the other way. And when we start to resist and say, I'm not following, I'm done, I'm good now, just let me sit. When God calls again, you're going to say the same thing, but just let me sit. And if we say no to God, I don't know where you are on that board. We don't know. You might be on your very last rung, and you might be making the very last question of your life today. And you say, no, God, not now. And you will drop into eternity. And there you will be. And you cannot make the choices after that. So when we make choices in life and we choose to follow God, there's something else Jesus calls for us to do. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 14. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. So the next thing I want to look at, the choice we make in life that is monumental in our life, is the choice to forgive others. This is something that we can choose to do or we can choose not to do. If we look at this, if we look at this passage, Jesus teaches us that our choice to forgive others directly affects my salvation. So if I live my life with bitterness towards others and choose not to forgive, I'm going away from God. And I'm going to end up on the wrong side of eternity because we want God to forgive us. Most of us, if we're real with ourselves, we recognize how many times we do something wrong. We recognize we want other people to forgive us also. We look at the times we snapped at our companions and been short with our families. We expected too much with our children. We expected too much of our employees. We got angry with our children. Maybe that don't happen to you in Virginia, but in Pennsylvania, in my house, it can be a real trial sometimes. You know, pressure of life comes together. And it's like, okay, this just has to move, and it doesn't. And we say, oh, well, family, children, wife, can you forgive me? I'm sorry. And we expect it to happen. Maybe we miscommunicated. This happened to me this past week. I miscommunicated with my employees and they ended up being put in a bad place because I couldn't get the problem fixed fast enough. Maybe we was arrogant with our opinions or spoke too much about an unfamiliar subject and we realized 5 years later that we were totally wrong in our assumptions. And we want people to forgive us. They say, well, the hope, people understand we grew. People understand that we changed. People understand. We want people to forgive us. But Jesus teaches that we got to forgive others. And we look at our own lives and think about what we have done against Jesus. We want God to forgive our failures. We want God to forgive us a time we did not use our tongue properly. We want God to forgive us when we have harbored ill feelings against somebody else. And we cry out to God and say, Lord, forgive me. And Jesus says, did you forgive your brother? How about the time we leave our minds fondled and forbidden? Or we don't listen when God says to tell us to pick up the hitchhiker? Or we allow doubt to grow in our mind till it becomes a huge cloud that we can't get away from? And we come back to God and say, Lord, forgive. I'm sorry. I want to do better. And Jesus reaches down and says, I will forgive you. And we know he will because the promises is there. But tied to that, Jesus says, forgive your brother. Forgive your brother. It's a choice we make every day. Matthew 18. You say, how often do I have to forgive my brother? In Matthew 18, verse 21. We must make forgiveness a way of life. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. And Peter said unto him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which to take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant moved the compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told him to the master all that was done. And when the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou not have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him unto the tormentors, till he should pay the uttermost farthing, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. And we look at this story and we think about, when you think about money, men have this way, when they think about money, they actually can connect to things pretty quick. Because whether you like it or you don't, it's kind of necessary to get around this world. So usually there's a connection there. And we look at this story and we see that one man was forgiven a huge debt. And he went out and took someone else just a little bit and really riled him up. Jesus teaches that we choose to forgive or we choose to hold a grudge, and it will go with us. And as you start a course, you will either choose to forgive or you will choose to hold a grudge. And the next time you're faced with it again, and you start thinking all the cards are stacked against you, and this brother did me wrong, and then 3 weeks later another brother did me wrong, or someone else, I'm sure they had an evil intention. And it becomes a way of life, and it becomes a groove, and it's very difficult to change. Because we become a mindset. It's a choice you make. Yeah, every day you can wake up and you can have a choice to make. You can choose the other direction. But every day you don't choose that direction, the more rooted you're going to be in the path you're headed on. We need to forgive those who have wronged us, intended or unintended, because we have done the same. We need to forgive those who have hurt us emotionally or physically. Maybe those who have wronged us financially. We need to forgive churches that we have parted ways with. Or maybe particular leaders that you really have an ouch with. We need to forgive, because if we do not forgive our brother, what does Jesus say? We won't be forgiven either. There's sometimes the saying we need to forgive and forget. And I challenge that. I don't think that's quite scriptural. I don't think that's quite the way it goes. But whenever we forgive someone in our hearts, when we forgive someone in our hearts, we do not let the pain of the situation control our lives. And we can think about the situation and grow thereby. And it can be a memory that we can think about, you know, it did happen, but I don't have all the details anymore. And there's a lesson I learned from it. And it's forgiveness. And we release that brother, we release it to God, and we can live our lives and move on. But choosing not to forgive, we put our own salvation in jeopardy. Because no one, I don't care what they did to you, I don't care what they said to you, I don't care what they took from you, I don't care what happened in your life. No one has hurt you more than we have hurt Christ. He was hung on the tree, he suffered and died for you and I, because he chose to forgive man who chose to sin. People will always, choosing to forgive needs to become a way of life, because Jesus also teaches that people will always offend us. Luke chapter 17, verse 4, then said he to the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It is better for him that a millstone was hanged about his neck, that he was cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespasses against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I will repent, thou shalt forgive him. People will offend us. It's going to happen. So we need to get rooted in our minds, what am I going to do before my brother offends me? Am I going to choose to hold on, or am I going to choose to forgive? And we can choose to release, and we can move on. And we choose release, we move to the next level. When the next brother hurts us, we choose release again, and we continue to go towards the right. And we can end up on the right side of eternity. After we have chosen God, after we have chosen to forgive our brothers, there's another choice we need to make every day. And this in here applies to all of us. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the King as supreme, or unto governors, or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, or for the praise of them that do well. For it is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Another choice we make every day when we wake up is, am I going to submit to those over me, or am I going to hoe my own row today? We talk about rebellion, we talk about submission. It's two opposite sides, but it's a choice we make every day on which side we're going to be on. Choosing to submit and follow, that is not only going to affect you and your destination, but choosing a life of general rebellion is going to affect your children because they know it. So it's a very critical one, because your choices here is going to affect the next generation after you. And I don't believe in generational sin, but I do believe in generational influence. And it's a hard choice whenever you grow up in a home of constant rebellion to make a change on that. So your choice in this will affect you. You know, but the choices to submit to authority is a choice we got to make. So currently, we're working over at our church in Carroll County, Maryland. And I lived in Pennsylvania all my life, and Maryland is interesting regulation-wise. And, you know, we can balk at that, and we can really talk about how crazy these regulation is and how stupid this is. And, you know, we can develop an attitude pretty quick about that. And, you know, is there a possibility to just get around this? You know, Jesus teaches here that we submit to those over us, and we're going to have a good rapport with our neighbors. They're going to see that. They're going to understand. Do we want to be known as the person that always skirts the law, or do we want to be known as the person that submits and works with what's around us? And we can think about some of the laws. One thing, you know, we bought this church, and we want to have school there, and I think our school this year is going to have 8 students in, which is small. But whenever we applied for a school registration, it triggered the fire marshal and the health department. And the fire marshal showed up in the building. It's an old building, built in the 60s. Well, the church is older than that, but the addition is built in the 60s. And his big thing is a fire alarm system. And we're like, you know, this has been a church. We're still a church. It was okay the Sunday before we bought it. Why can't it be okay 3 Sundays later? What do we do? Do we fight it? Or just submit and say, well, the Lord knew this too. Maybe that's why we got it for the price we got it for. So we work with that. Sometimes I wonder if we realize how quickly our government could turn on us. And our neighbors know what we're doing. And if our neighbors know that we are constantly trying to skirt the law when the government does turn, what's going to happen? You know, whenever Hitler took over Germany, he was a very popular man. And the Mennonites, and the Anabaptists and Mennonites in Germany thought he was pretty much going to save them. But suddenly there's a whole class of people that ended up on the wrong side of his opinion. And they were only saved by those who respected them with what they gave before the time of trial, not after. And I just think we do well to think about that as we get around in our communities. The other area we need to learn to submit to authority is, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they might give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. The other place we choose to submit is in church authority. We can choose whether or not we are going to constantly fight against where we are, or we're going to choose to submit. Leaders make mistakes. But rebelling is not a solution. There are ways to respectfully part paths that can be honorable and not by rebellion. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, we know the story about whenever Saul come back. And he said, I did everything you told me to do, but he kept the sheep and he kept some of the people. And he had this elaborate plan that he had in mind that was going to work out. And Samuel told him very straight, he said, for rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as in iniquity and idolatry. And the world we live in today, an Anabaptist movement where there's a lot of me and God, and I got this figured out, and don't touch me. We still need to recognize that we come under a brotherhood authority. In 1 Peter, we said we love the brotherhood and honor the king. It's two things. We love the brother. We love the brother. We're going to work with the brotherhood. This past week, I had a conversation with a man. And he feels like he's caught between, he's trying to serve two masters, long story short. He wants to look good in this church, but he doesn't want to obey him. And I finally told the man, I said, look, I said, I'm not going to help you. I said, there's nothing I can do for you. I said, I choose not to help you. I said, you're going to have to figure it out yourself. I said, you're at a crossroads in your life. I said, you need to choose because your children's watching. And if you're going to stay there and fight the system, your children know it. And if you're going to let rebellion build in your life and go undercover because, well, I don't know what else to do. I said, your children know it. And I said, the fruit that it's going to bear is not something you want to harvest. And he feels like he's trapped. And it's important that we understand that not every church, not every church establishment has it all put together. Because I was, last Sunday night, it was brought to my attention that the speaker, he talked about the example there in Acts. In Acts chapter 15, verse 29, it said, and this was after the Jerusalem conference. They were discussing whether or not, what they're going to do about, some people were thinking they ought to require the circumcision, and some people were thinking they shouldn't require the circumcision. So they sat down, and they looked at it, and the leaders got together, and they come up with this conclusion. And in verse 29, it says, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which ye have to keep yourselves, ye do well. But farewell. But in the same thing, they released the rite of circumcision. They said it's too grievous to bear. And then we have several, in the Corinthians, we have Paul wrote to another church and told them that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he told them that really eating meat eat to idols is just no big deal. Now, I really wonder if there was a big migration from Jerusalem to Corinth, because, you know, this is a big deal. We can eat meat. It's be cheaper because it's more surplus. It's offered to adults, and it just really is no big deal. But the 1 Corinthians is a letter packed full of instruction to the church. And we use it today, and it's good. But, you know, there's gives and takes in each congregation. And if we are living a life of rebellion and we're living a life that I don't like what they told me here and I'm going to run off and do something else because I am right and me and God got this figured out. If that's the life we're going to live, no matter where you choose, sooner or later you're going to be up against another roadblock in your life. And you're going to make the same choice again. And you're going to start a course. And one choice leads to another choice, leads to another choice. And unless we choose and acknowledge in our own hearts that we have rebellion, and choices I've made is because of rebellion in my heart, and confess and repent to Almighty God, we will be counted as a sin as witchcraft and idolatry because we're thinking more of ourselves than of somebody else. And we are saying essentially, I will not listen to anybody because I am king of my own power. but it is a choice that I make personally every day on what's going to happen. Choosing submission is different than blindly following. There is times when you need to really analyze your, you need to analyze and say what is right. And submitting is different than just saying, well, I can't think for myself. Because it is important that we know why we do what we do and believe to follow. But if we are dealing with rebellion, we also need to recognize that in our own lives. That am I simply rebelling from what I don't want, or am I just not willing? Am I not willing to listen and rebel from what I'm hearing, or do I have a legitimate reason on why I see what I see? And the last thing I like to look at is a choice we make, and this is a choice to be faithful unto the end. We can make a lot of right choices in life. You know, we can start at the top of the board, and we can choose Christ. And we can choose to forgive the first five people that offended us. And we can choose to submit. And we can continue to choose, and we think we're choosing right. But somewhere in life, you must continue to make that each choice one after the other. Because it's not over until it's over. And you have every option all the way to the end of life on whether you're going to choose left or right. Matthew 10, verse 16 to 22 says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought on how you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not that ye speak, but the Spirit of God which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against the parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Saying yes, Lord, at 15, saying yes, Lord, at 13, whatever age you are, saying yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you, is a great start. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He that continues to choose one step after another. We cannot save our lives at the beginning of our lives. We must continue to live until the end. Only making choices right at the first half of the life, we can still end up in darkness. Forgiving our brothers and sisters while we were young, but holding a grudge at the end of life because suddenly, I don't know, maybe it's just older people. I feel like I'm pretty young, and there's a lot of people older than me, and I have a lot of respect for elderly people, but sometimes they just are really set. And I don't know. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. We hold a grudge at the end of our life and cannot submit and cannot work with other people, we will have a wasted life. Submitting only part the way and rebelling about something later in life is idolatry, and we will not be part of the kingdom of heaven. In closing, I want to impress upon us that none of us know today, sitting on these benches, how many more options we have. I don't know how many more ranks you have in your life to go from one side of the board to the other. But someday, you will make a final choice. And the choices you are making today will likely affect that choice. Because just as older people sometimes can be very set in their way, they also can get very set that this is the way I will continue to choose in life. And if they live a life of rebellion or a life of unforgiveness or a life of or a miserly life, that's not going to change at 75. We may live to be 15, we may live to be 25, 40, 60, 90. But if you're living, I can assure you of one thing, you're going to die. And you're not going to be able to choose anymore on which direction you're going to go, because you're going to end up in a slot. That the destination is sealed. And Jesus will put you where you are going. Because you can only choose while you're in life. There are only, sometimes we think we can justify unforgiveness or rebellion, but we must remember how God views it. Because there's only two destinies. And I believe last week Sherwin impressed that upon you, that they are both eternal. And there's only two destinies. There's not a middle spot. Either we are choosing eternal life and comfort, or we are choosing eternal torment. We can only choose our path as we travel through life, but we will accept the choices we will accept without choice, the destiny our series of choices led to. Let's kneel for prayer.